to Chosen Generation with your host, Pastor Greg Young.
But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should shew forth the praises of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy.
And now, Chosen Generation, where no topic is off limits and everything is filtered through biblical glasses. And now, here's your host, Pastor Greg.
And welcome back to Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits and everything filtered through biblical glasses. So great to have you. Thanks so much for being here. I know you have a choice in where you can listen each and every day. And I thank you for keeping it tuned here to Chosen Generation Radio. Hour number two. Wow. If you missed any part of hour number one, I really do encourage you to get the podcast. We had Scott Shara, who is the father of Grace Shara. Grace was killed at a Wisconsin hospital, a Down syndrome patient who was put on a DNR without her knowledge, without her family's knowledge, and then was given a cocktail of three medications that clearly say on the package in black print in the square, don't give these together because these are the potential side effects, number two of which is death. And they watched on FaceTime as their daughter stood at the bedside yelling for the nurses to come in the room and please do something. And the nurses standing outside saying, sorry, the doctor has issued a DNR on this patient. We can't do anything. And they watched their daughter die on FaceTime. Don't take your loved one to the hospitals, please. I'm serious. If you're looking for a recommendation as to what to do or where to go, reach out to me at PastorGreg@ChosenGenerationRadio.com. I have relationships with medical networks that I can connect you with that will help you. And if you've got a loved one in the hospital right now and you are watching what's happening and saying, oh my gosh, I have a network that I can connect you with that's tied in with doctors like Dr. Zelenko, and they are rescuing patients out of hospitals right now. So reach out to me, PastorGreg@ChosenGenerationRadio.com, PastorGreg@ChosenGenerationRadio.com. I am very pleased to welcome my next guest to the program. I got a chance briefly in my researching and getting prepared to watch her in an interview on OAN, and then also got a chance to watch her in another interview on the Dr. J show. She is director of research for the Center for Family and Human Rights, CFAM, an international research and policy organization based in New York and Washington, D.C. She has a doctorate in genetics and molecular biology at Emory University. Her research areas include global maternal health and family planning metrics. She's had articles published in The Hill, The New Atlantis, and the Christian Journal of Global Health. And I welcome to the program Dr. Rebecca Oss. Dr. Rebecca, welcome. Good to have you.
It's great to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, I am so pleased to have you with me. You are you are the traditional family version of a rocket scientist.
Well, that's not really my area, but thank you.
Well, I know. That's what I'm saying. You're not a rocket scientist, but if traditional families were going to have somebody that was going to be a rocket scientist, I can't think of anybody better than somebody with a doctorate in understanding genetics, molecular biology, and researching global maternal health and family planning. But your idea of global maternal health and family planning might be, I'm just guessing here, might be a little bit different than Planned Parenthood's idea of family planning, which at the end of the day includes killing the baby.
Well, that's exactly right. You know, certainly I am pro-life. I believe that life has value and dignity from conception until natural death. And yes, in that way, I part company a great deal from Planned Parenthood. But I also, you know, I believe that women who are pregnant and giving birth should have, you know, the best care, and that it, you know, we should have fewer deaths of women and children, especially in the developing world, that we have the technology. We know how to do it. It's just a matter of making sure that, you know, that the resources are there, that there's the trained professionals, that there's electricity, clean water, you know, clinics available. And, you know, so that's the work that I'm hoping the international community will do, and not get on board with the agenda of Planned Parenthood.
Well, as a father of five, and also as someone who's planted over 500 churches in Punjab, India, and we've put in now 28 freshwater wells for that very reason that you just discussed, and we're ministering and reaching out to the lower castes, the forgotten, the invisible people. Man, I'm telling you, you just went right into right into my zone, right where I'm at, Dr. O.S. Let me ask, so. Let's talk about that. Let's talk about how do we fundamentally change the way in which the, you know, family planning is being done? Because it's obvious that within the school system, there's a new film. I don't know if you've had a chance to take a look at it. It's called The Mind Polluters, and it exposes how they are conditioning. There's a gal that is in there that worked with Planned Parenthood for 10 years on an advisory level before she said, she was like, hold, stop. I'm going to expose what you guys do. Talking about how they are conditioning young ladies between the ages of 4 and 9 to get prepared to have their first abortion by the time they're 11. How do we change this? How do we... You talk in one of your interviews with Dr. J about word selection and the difference of definition. And I'm going to give this to you. You know, I know I've thrown a whole lot at you right here, but take it and mold for me. What's it going to look like? And how do we, the people, get our act together?
Well, like you said, there's a lot in there, and I'll try and do my best to touch on some of the main points. But one of the things that you talked about, I think, is very, very important to keep in mind, and that is that the global community of faith, you know, Christians and even other religions as well, you know, the so much of the work that's being done on the ground in the developing world, but also historically, you know, in the United States as well, and today, is done by faith-based actors, you know, and a lot of that, you know, perhaps in their humility, they don't, you know, blow their own horn about it. But, you know, so much of the glue that's holding all this together, especially in low resource areas, is being done by churches and church affiliated groups. You know, so much of the care is being given by people who are motivated by their faith. And, you know, my organization focuses on international institutions in promoting family, you know, family values and pro-life positions at, for example, the United Nations, but also other international institutions like the European Union, the Organization of American States, and so on. And, you know, what we do is we track how this language, you know, makes it into resolutions and how that gets implemented in terms of foreign policy and foreign aid and development. And a lot of harmful things get in at that level, and then they get implemented on the ground.
Okay.
And, of course, Planned Parenthood is a big part of that, you know, trying to reframe how we think about things like, for example, maternal health. You know, I mean, I think most people would agree that it is terrible when a mother dies giving birth or when a child dies, sure, you know, in infancy based on, you know, very preventable causes. And there's a great deal of global consensus that we can and we must address these things, especially in areas where these rates of death are very high. Unfortunately, you know, the global maternal and child health agenda has really been co-opted by some of these other groups. Because they know they can't just promote abortion, you know, to these relatively conservative cultures. You know, right, they have to sort of package it as part of a whole, you know, group of interventions under the sort of, you know, ambiguous phrases like reproductive health, you know, which sound good on the surface until you see what all is contained within that.
Right.
And, you know, so there's what's being contained in that phrase and all the harmful things in there, but also, you know, which are the organizations that are being given huge amounts of funding to implement this on the ground. You know, who's getting grants, for example, from you know, the United States Agency for International Development, or USAID, you know, who's getting funding from the European Union to do health work, you know, in sub-Saharan Africa, you know, in South Asia and in other places.
Right.
And unfortunately, Planned Parenthood has become so very good at capturing all this funding, you know, and, you know, part of that is because a lot of these donor countries and, you know, philanthropic institutions want to reshape gender norms. They want to reshape the values of these communities they work in, and they see the healthcare system, the education system, as a way to get in there.
Certainly.
And so they promote things like what they call comprehensive sexuality education, which is a lot more than, you know, the biology of reproduction and, you know, and how, you know, to be a responsible adult, right? It's all about, you know, gender ideology. It's all about, you know, again, taking away the conservative family values and replacing them with, you know, Planned Parenthood's vision for human ecology. And so, you know, what my organization does, we're not, you know, on the ground in all these countries, but what right. we do is we talk to delegates at the United Nations about, you know, what the downstream harm of letting these things get into their resolutions would be. And also working with people, you know, on the Capitol Hill here in D.C., you know, to inform them about the implications of where our funding, you know, as our taxpayer funding is going in terms of foreign aid, because, of course, the U.S. is, you know, a huge donor to global health, which is great.
Now, one of the things that they, you know, scream about, right, is, oh, but we have a separation of church and state. We can't have state money going to these religious organizations. And that's why they create their organizations. And those organizations are, you know, non-religious. And those organizations, as you've have clearly defined, do not support or promote traditional values. So how do we break that barrier? And how do we get, you know, these foreign entities and UN? And I mean, like you said, that's the other part of this. This is a multi-billion-dollar business model. And that seems to be the driving force here, is the dollars, not human life.
Well, I guess I would say a couple of things to that. One is, you know, the U.S. government, you know, has historically partnered with a lot of faith-based organizations to provide help overseas. So that there are certainly those who would say we should try and partner with secular groups, but we have, you know, a lot of partners that are faith-based. Where we run into problems is where, you know, an organization, say the Biden administration, you know, puts these guidelines in place that says that groups are not eligible to receive aid, say, for maternal health, unless they do a whole suite of things that fall under that umbrella, some of which might be objectionable to certain faith-based groups. For example, you know, a Catholic group wouldn't necessarily want to be offering contraception, you know, in certain
right.
You know, and to make these groups ineligible to receive funding if they're not willing to do all of the things, or if they don't have a policy on LGBT that's favored by this administration. And so that's where you run into problems. It's not a blanket ban on faith-based groups. It's more the crafting
it's
of
nuanced.
Guidelines that
It's more nuanced.
It so
okay.
They will be
yeah,
we less need, favorably seen.
We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back. We got about 7 minutes on the other side, so don't go anywhere. Dr. OS is my guest. We're talking with her. She is with CFAM. You can see that up on screen, but it's c-fam.org. And we're going to talk about action steps. And don't forget that number that I've given you, 202-224-3121. That's the Capital Switchboard. They represent us. And it's their responsibility to do what we want. Hi, I'm Pastor Greg, host of the Chosen Generation Radio Show, heard on the Truth Broadcasting Network and seen on TECNTV.com Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to noon Eastern, where I discuss today's most important issues through a biblical constitutional lens. TECNTV.com appreciates our partnership with NTD, and we'd love for you to give our great programming a view. That's TECNTV.com, Chosen Generation Radio with Pastor Greg. God bless you and God bless America.
My passion is the fight for freedom. My father fought for World War II defending our country. Today, we are no longer fighting with guns. Instead, we are fighting an ideological battle for control of our country by contributing to causes that support your constitutional rights. I am Patriot Mobile.
Greetings, Chosen Generation Army. I'm so grateful to be connected with you, my listeners. You are some of the most engaged, responsive, loving, and caring people I know. I need to bring to your attention an urgent need for our ministries in India. While there has become a focus on the Uyghurs in China, our ministries in Jammu, Kashmir, and Punjab are being terrorized by those same Uyghurs, the Taliban, and the mounting CCP army at the border of India. Between these threats and the lockdowns, we find ourselves in need of additional financial support. I'm asking for your help to support these pastors and their families, our orphans, our widows, our Bible students, and our community outreaches. $15 will feed a pastor's family for a month. $20 funds our sewing school instructor, and $150 a week funds our base operations, the orphans, the Bible school students, even the sewing school, and our senior indigenous Pastor Samuel. So please go to paypal.me/PastorGreg. That's paypal.me/PastorGreg. Or you can call me at 209-380-8654, 209-380-8654, to make your donation over the phone. Please call us, contact me today, and make your best donation. Thank you, and God bless you.
This is Adam Mundall with State Air. We need people on radio willing to speak about the Bible, the Constitution, and putting God back in our nation again. So join me in sponsoring Chosen Generation and Pastor Greg. Call him today at 830-446-3624. That's 830-446-3624. This has blessed my business, and it will bless yours. Thank you. This is Adam Mundall with State Air, and we are sponsors of Chosen Generation and Pastor Greg. Sponsoring this program has been a real blessing to our business, and I want to encourage you to join me in sponsoring Chosen Generation and Pastor Greg. Call him today at 830-446-3624. Once again, that's 830-446-3624. I know your business will be blessed as ours is, and I challenge you to this blessing. Thank you.
Hi, this is Pastor Greg, host of the Chosen Generation radio show, reminding you that we have a two-hour program Monday through Friday with great interviews on topics that impact you. Our goal is to return our country to a biblically based constitutional republic as envisioned by our founding fathers and what made our nation the greatest in the world for over 150 years. You are a part of that vision, so please join us at ChosenGenerationRadio.com, ChosenGenerationRadio.com, and sign up for our emails today.
Did you know you can do your tithing and love offering right from your computer? Visit www.chosengenerationradio.com to support Chosen Generation and make a tax-deductible donation. Now, back to Chosen Generation with Pastor Greg.
And welcome back to Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits. Everything filtered through biblical glasses. And my special guest is Dr. Rebecca Oas of CFAM, c-fam.org. I'm saying that right. Oas, right?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Good. I told her, I said, okay, get me that pronunciation so I can do this right. Well, Dr. Rebecca, so I was sharing with you as we're getting ready to come out of the break. Where was I at? Remind me. The thought just left.
Well, we
my
were
mind.
Talking about how Planned Parenthood and others have really sort of captured a lot of the global maternal health discourse, and you know, how faith-based groups are doing such incredible work, but they often don't
Yes. And I had mentioned to you that I used to call Elijah Cummings' office when he was alive, because there were a lot of things that Elijah Cummings did that I highly disagreed with. But whenever I would call them, one of the things that I would point them to is a website called blackgenocide.org. Don't know if you've ever seen it before. You probably should if you haven't. Reverend Childress is the founder of that. And he highlights how the black community is targeted by Planned Parenthood. And he shows the numbers, and he peels the whole thing back. And every time I would say to one of their staff members, did you know that your boss pays for, through his vote, the funding of blackgenocide.org? What are you talking about? Go to the website. Go learn. All I'm asking you to do is go learn. This isn't a political issue. This is a life issue. And you should know that the person you're working for and the Congressional Black Caucus is consistently a counted upon vote to fund an organization that targets and murders black babies. That's all I'm saying. It's amazing. They would kind of be, I mean, they would be stunned. And it was interesting because normally I would never talk to that voice again. Don't know if they laughed, but.
Well, you're doing important work sharing all that information.
Well, and that's, you know, that's why, folks, I give you the number 202-224-3121 is the switchboard at the Capitol. 202-224-3121. This particular issue, I guess, is more of a House of Representatives than a Senate, although it's not going to hurt to talk to your House of Representatives member and your two senators, because the Senate right now is what's holding back some of the most radical legislation that's ever been passed in the House of Representatives ever in our history, I believe. But to that end, and again, I'm not trying to make this a political, because I know that CFAM is not coming from a political perspective. You are looking at the kinds of values and women's care and what is necessary for a healthy, sustainable culture, whether it be in the United States of America or in these developing countries where there's an unnecessary level of suffering and death that could be stopped if people were putting money in the right bucket.
Well, you're absolutely right. And I think it's important too for your listeners to know that a lot of what goes on overseas, you know, doesn't filter through, you know, our usual media.
No.
And so you kind of have to look for it. You know, certainly we in the United Nations have the luxury of not having to think too much about so much of what the UN policy is around the world, because we have our own very robust system, you know, of our own government, our own national structure. And so, but a lot of countries, you know, in the developing world receive a lot of UN-related aid and the policies that go with them. And so what we, you know, what our representatives at the UN agree to is going to have wide-ranging implications for a lot of people in the world.
Well, and there's a boomerang effect, right, Dr. Rebecca? I mean, to a degree, there's a boomerang effect, because as I sit on the advisory board for Save the Persecuted Christians, and, you know, we talk a lot about what's happening internationally and what's happening from religious persecution, but just in general, humanitarian efforts and policies and how they're shaped and you know, birth rates and I mean, women and how women are treated and moms and the health care that they get and the health care that babies get and all those kinds of things. But there's a boomerang effect in the sense that you're defining what life looks like from a particular world view. And that ultimately is going to come back to roost here, because those individuals are going to grow up with that particular mindset and they're going to become leaders in their nations. And we're already seeing how dramatically the international law is piercing into our nation and our court system.
Well, you're absolutely right about that. And another area in which we see this boomerang effect right now is that, you know, for many years, we've been seeing this idea of, you know, do-it-yourself abortion with pills, you know, being championed by abortion groups, particularly in Latin America and countries that have had very strong pro-life laws as a way to get around that. And, you know, the World Health Organization has been providing a lot of, you know, institutional cover for this practice by saying, well, yes, it's legal as long as it's, you know, or it's healthy, it's safe as long as it's done according to, you know, our guidance. And so a lot of these illegal providers of abortion pills will say, well, we're just doing this in alignment with what the WHO is saying. And of course, you know, as the pending Supreme Court decision, you know, is looming, and
are you getting
and
up in the
you know,
morning
the state
feeling
of-
like you and your bed had a bad night, still tired.
Go ahead.
It doesn't have to be that way.
I'm sorry.
Mike Lindell.
Go ahead. Continue, please.
But anyway, so as the Supreme Court decision and the fate of Roe versus Wade, you know, hangs in the balance, what we've already seen, you know, and certainly during the pandemic, is the promotion here in the United States of do-it-yourself abortions, you know, yeah. of mail-order pills, of removing that necessary link between women and doctors as part of this process. And of course, you know, in addition to exposing women to the health risks of having abortions on their own, it also creates the possibility that the woman might be given the pills by a third party, you know, someone abusive.
Right,
you know,
which increases health risks and so on. Dr. Ois, thank you for being with us today. I greatly appreciate it. We got a little bit over on our TV broadcast, but it was important for me to have you make these statements and let people know these things. That's why I held you over, and I thank you for that. Dr. Rebecca Ois, cfam.org, and look forward to having you back, and keep fighting the good fight. We greatly appreciate it.
Thank you. You as well.
Thanks. Greetings, Children Generation Army. I'm so grateful to be connected with you, my listeners. You are some of the most engaged, responsive, loving, and caring people I know. I need to bring to your attention an urgent need for our ministries in India. While there has become a focus on the Uyghurs in China, our ministries in Jammu, Kashmir, and Punjab are being terrorized by those same Uyghurs, the Taliban, and the mounting CCP army at the border of India. Between these threats and the lockdowns, we find ourselves in need of additional financial support. I'm asking for your help to support these pastors and their families, our orphans, our widows, our Bible students, and our community outreaches. $15 will feed a pastor's family for a month. $20 funds our sewing school instructor, and $150 a week funds our base operations, the orphans, the Bible school students, even the sewing school, and our senior indigenous Pastor Samuel. So please go to paypal.me/PastorGreg. That's paypal.me/PastorGreg. Or you can call me at 209-380-8654, 209-380-8654, to make your donation over the phone. Please call us, contact me today, and make your best donation. Thank you, and God bless you.
My passion is the fight for freedom. My father fought for World War II defending our country. Today, we are no longer fighting with guns. Instead, we are fighting an ideological battle for control of our country by contributing to causes that support your constitutional rights. I am Patriot Mobile.
Hi, I'm Pastor Greg, host of the Chosen Generation Radio Show, heard on the Truth Broadcasting Network and seen on TECNTV.com Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to noon Eastern, where I discuss today's most important issues through a biblical constitutional lens. TECNTV.com appreciates our partnership with NTD, and we'd love for you to give our great programming a view. That's TECNTV.com, Chosen Generation Radio with Pastor Greg. God bless you and God bless America.
Did you know you can do your tithing and love offering right from your computer? Visit www.chosengenerationradio.com to support Chosen Generation and make a tax-deductible donation. Now, back to Chosen Generation with Pastor Greg.
And welcome back to Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits and everything is filtered through biblical glasses. Okay. All right, a little bit of an echo going on there, and something has gone wrong on part of this, but it's, okay. They must have the microphone open on the other end. Hopefully they'll fix that. All right, well, welcome aboard. Good to have you. Thanks for being here. I know you have a choice in where you can listen each and every day, and I thank you for keeping it tuned to Chosen Generation Radio. I'm very pleased to have my next guest with me. He is with the Discovery Institute. I was going to say Scott Hoover Institute, but I know you were with the Hoover Institute, And now you are a senior fellow with the Discovery Institute and an expert in the area of American history. And so appropriate that we should talk about that because this coming Monday is President's Day. So I want to welcome you to the program. Thanks for being here.
Well, thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, I guess we can begin. I was actually watching an interview that you did on I believe it was on OAN, talking about George Washington and his faith. I'm a big fan of David Barton and Wall Builders and how they how they express, you know, America wasn't founded by a bunch of deists that saw God, you know, off in the distance, but by Christians who passionately had experienced. I don't think I remembered, or maybe I didn't even know about some of the near-death experiences that George Washington personally experienced, which I can really relate to because of the accident that I was in, and how that impacted his faith and confidence level in the war and in the years that followed. Can you speak to that a little bit, please?
Well, when George Washington was 23 years old, this was in 1755. He, of course, this is 21 years before the Revolution. He was serving under British General Braddock in the French and Indian War. And he was the junior officer in the particular battalion that he was with, and they were up in the valley of the Monongahela, and they were ambushed by Indians primarily who were behind trees. They were passing through kind of an open area, and the orders were given to shoot the officers on horseback, because if you can take down all the officers, the rest will fall very easily. And within 20-25 minutes, those sharpshooter Indians had taken down all the officers but one, General Braddock was killed. I mean, he didn't die right away, but within I think 24-36 hours he passed. But the one officer that remained standing was the junior most officer, and that was George Washington. The Indian chief later told stories about how he insisted that his warriors train their rifles on Washington and take him down. They couldn't. Washington had two horses shot from out from under him, but he then was the senior officer, the only remaining officer, and he organized the retreat that night. As they're sort of decompressing, Washington takes off his uniform and he has four bullet holes through his uniform, four separate bullet holes. But he had not a scratch on his body.
That's incredible.
And he attributed it to Providence, to the Lord protecting him.
Yeah.
So that experience early in his life, I think, shaped him a lot. He certainly, in the Revolutionary War, he was made, of course, Commander-in-Chief in 1775. He was assigned to Boston, and that's where the problems began. And Washington always in that arena and every battle thereafter, he was always known to lead from the front with just incredible courage. There are many, many stories, but one of which is the Battle of Princeton, where he was leading with bullets whizzing all around him. And he so inspired his troops that they fought harder, and the townspeople of Princeton, who looked on and saw this display of courage, were so inspired that they joined in the battle, and they made short work of the British. That was a victorious battle. So there are stories like this that just are quite amazing. And in the book, I identify nine qualities of character that many of our great leaders had. They include, courage, faith and reliance on God, persistence, resilience, servant leadership, a sense of duty and responsibility, respect and tolerance, forgiveness, and mindfulness and self-controlled, self-control. Washington had them all. I mean, he was just a remarkable man. Lincoln was really very different in many different ways, but what he saw as Washington saw, Washington gave his warning to the nation in his farewell address after his second term, and he chose not to serve a third term. And in his farewell address, he warned that if America would fail, it would come from three things. Institutions failing to keep people well informed. That's, of course, the media, newspapers in those days.
Mm-hmm.
Division resulting from party faction and hyper-partisanship. And third, the moral and religious decline of society. And we can clearly see those are the three main factors that have really brought us to where we are right now in America. Lincoln had the same view, but he elaborated, and he observed, and I'll quote from him, he said, "Corporations have been enthroned, and an era of corruption in high places will follow, and the money power of the country will endeavor to prolong its reign by working upon the prejudices of the people until all wealth is aggregated in a few hands and the republic is destroyed." Now,
read that again, because my goodness, if that's not prophetic, read that again, please.
I'll read the latter part.
Yeah.
"And the money power of the country will endeavor to prolong its reign by working upon the prejudice of the people until all wealth is aggregated in a few hands and the republic is destroyed."
Mm-mm-mm.
Now, Lincoln was, extraordinarily prescient. He couldn't possibly have seen the technological transformation to come to the U.S. economy, but it's now obvious that the aggregation and concentration of wealth in the information technology industry today is really probably in the forefront of undermining our constitutional, many of our rights, certainly the First Amendment rights, and free speech is, after all, the cornerstone to the republic. One's reminded of Ben Franklin's warning to future generations that, quote, "There is no such thing as public liberty without freedom of speech." And here we are, with that right being sort of ripped away from us, over the years and subtly, but really.
Yeah, but quite dramatically. And I think that the new playbook, right, is that, what's mentioned there about the money brokers. I mean, we look at the Constitution and we identify that the Constitution holds back and guarantees certain rights to the people. And so the progressive left has figured out that, okay, well, we can't do this through the government. So now what we're going to do is we're going to do this through other entities, private or even, publicly held traded companies, but we're going to take over the corporate world, and we're going to get the corporate world to force the people to do what we want them to do or starve them out.
Right. Yeah. We're living in precarious times, but the book is a very optimistic book because it draws on the past, because whether it was Washington or Lincoln during the Civil War or facing Pearl Harbor, World War II, we've faced many precarious and very dangerous times in the past, and we overcame those. And we overcame them primarily from leaders that, first of all, had faith and reliance on God. There was, the culture was more Christian at that time.
Yeah.
But when you have confidence that God is behind you, it is very easy. It's a lot easier to have courage and resilience and persistence and the ability to overcome great difficulties. And that's why I think our hope is in a spiritual revival in America. And I think
absolutely.
I see it happening now. I see a great awakening happening. You have to pass through the shadow of the valley of death sometimes before you're open to what God wants to do.
Well, I think that's the thing, and we can talk some more about this when we come back after this break, but I think, folks, that's one of the things that, that folks that are trying to extinguish America's fire, if you will, are not understanding. The Word of God says that it will not return void, but prosper in everything that it is sent out to do. Our Congress, one of its very first acts was to print a Bible and make sure there was a Bible in the living room of every single home in the 13 colonies. Each colony was founded and established, predicated on a belief system. And when it says that Congress shall make no religion, it's not suggesting that Congress will extinguish religious liberty, but rather that there will not be a church of the United States. And there wasn't. We'll talk about more after this.
Yes.
Hi, I'm Pastor Greg, host of the Chosen Generation Radio Show, heard on the Truth Broadcasting Network and seen on TECNTV.com Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to noon Eastern, where I discuss today's most important issues through a biblical constitutional lens. TECNTV.com appreciates our partnership with NTD, and we'd love for you to give our great programming a view. That's TECNTV.com, Chosen Generation Radio with Pastor Greg. God bless you and God bless America.
My passion is the fight for freedom. My father fought for World War II defending our country. Today, we are no longer fighting with guns. Instead, we are fighting an ideological battle for control of our country by contributing to causes that support your constitutional rights. I am Patriot Mobile.
Greetings, Chosen Generation Army. I'm so grateful to be connected with you, my listeners. You are some of the most engaged, responsive, loving, and caring people I know. I need to bring to your attention an urgent need for our ministries in India. While there has become a focus on the Uyghurs in China, our ministries in Jammu, Kashmir, and Punjab are being terrorized by those same Uyghurs, the Taliban, and the mounting CCP army at the border of India. Between these threats and the lockdowns, we find ourselves in need of additional financial support. I'm asking for your help to support these pastors and their families, our orphans, our widows, our Bible students, and our community outreaches. $15 will feed a pastor's family for a month. $20 funds our sewing school instructor, and $150 a week funds our base operations, the orphans, the Bible school students, even the sewing school, and our senior indigenous Pastor Samuel. So please go to paypal.me/Pastor Greg. That's paypal.me/Pastor Greg. Or you can call me at 209-380-8654, 209-380-8654, to make your donation over the phone. Please call us, contact me today, and make your best donation. Thank you, and God bless you. Hi, this is Pastor Greg, host of the Chosen Generation Radio Show. If you follow my program, you know I'm a miracle survivor of a catastrophic car accident where I saved my daughter's life, spent 6 weeks on life support, died four times, and broke bones in my head, neck, back, ribs, arms, pelvis, and both legs. That was in 2017. In 2004, I was given 3 to 6 months to live as my pituitary gland and adrenal gland shut down. In both instances, God and His natural cures saved and preserved my life. Recently, I was introduced to a product that has taken my healing to a whole nother level. If you want to know more, go to cgrwellness.com and sign up for an account. It's free to sign up. That's cgrwellness.com and sign up for your free account. And when you get done, email me at pg@pastorgregyoung.com. That's pg@pastorgregyoung.com, and I'll tell you how to get well. Hey.
Did you know you can do your tithing and love offering right from your computer? Visit www.chosengenerationradio.com to support Chosen Generation and make a tax-deductible donation. Now, back to Chosen Generation with Pastor Greg.
And welcome back to Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits and everything filtered through biblical glasses. I'm your host, Pastor Greg, and my special guest is Scott Powell. And you can get his book, Rediscovering America, how the national holidays tell an amazing story of who we are. Introduction by my dear friend David Horowitz, and rediscoveringamerica.net is the website to go to. For those of you that are watching, you can see it. It's up right now. Rediscoveringamerica.net. Scott S. Powell, Rediscovering America is the name of the book. Encourage you to pick it up today. So Scott, we talked to about, we were talking about reawakenings, we were talking about, you know, coming back and getting back on track, and how America comes back. Where do you see these awakenings happening, and how are they manifesting themselves?
Well, they're happening on so many different levels now. My goodness. People care about their health, perhaps. Health comes first with most people. And we have a healthcare administration, a bureaucracy that has betrayed the people with its prohibitions of therapeutic drugs that could have treated COVID very successfully early on, mm-hmm. and literally saved lives.
Yeah.
Thousands, tens or hundreds of thousands of lives. And those drugs have been administered overseas very successfully. In Uttar Pradesh in India, you know, a province in India that's about two-thirds the size of the United States totally eliminated COVID by the use of ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine. But what we have is a corrupt medical... We have a corruption in every part of our government now. Every part. And... But you would hope that healthcare would be somehow off limits, right? Because healthcare administrators care about the health of people, and they wouldn't want to do anything to hurt people's health. Well, what we've just learned is no, the healthcare administration is captured by the pharmaceutical industry, which is utterly amoral, driven by the profit motive, and willing to experiment on people,
yeah.
To make money. But behind that, of course, perhaps, is an international, what we'll call a socialist world government cabal that has used the pandemic for their own ends. And, of course, one of those ends was to get rid of Donald Trump. You know, when people, yep. were fearful, when there were lockdowns, it just opened the door to mail-in ballots. And we know what happened.
Yes, sir.
The election was stolen.
I agree. I agree wholeheartedly. Man, I agree. I agree with everything. I agree with everything you just said, sir. Wow. I'm so glad to have you. We're so on the same page.
Well, let me share a little bit more hope.
Sure.
Because we're all in this sense. We're living in under an illegitimate government. It's almost like a banana republic. We see how the rest of the world no longer respects us. We don't respect our government. It's not a healthy place for any nation to be.
Yeah.
But, before Trump left, he appointed this very rigorous, legal investigator, high-level guy, special counsel,
yep.
John Durham.
Yep.
And Durham's process has been going on now for, I think, nearly 3 years, at least 2 years, and we keep wondering, what's happening? Well, remember, what prosecutors typically do is they've got to build a bulletproof case.
Amen.
Building cases on multiple fronts.
Yep.
I mean, we're talking a lot of crime.
This is huge. I was just talking to a friend about this last night. We were visiting about this very thing and about how meticulous John Durham is being and has to be, and how he, I talked about earlier in the week, that how he broke open, and folks, you've got to understand, getting Mark Elias into a position where he had to testify before the grand jury, and his attorney-client privilege is disbanded. It's gone. That means that he's committed crimes, and that's why it's disbanded. And he doesn't say that in the documentation, but it's clear, because if you understand the law of it, that's the only way that happened, is... he did. He broke the law. And now
he broke the law.
Oh man. And now that means everybody that Elias talked to on his client list, every communication is now available to the Durham investigation. That's huge.
Yeah. It is very huge. It is very huge. So, you know, I mean, we know that it God is a God of grace and love and freedom for us, but he is a God of justice. And I think that American people are going to breathe a sigh of relief when they see that justice has not been lost, because, you know, we are going to have, you know, justice will prevail. It isn't that we'll get everything all at once, but we've got to change the direction of the country. It's been a two-tier justice system for decades. That has to end. It simply does.
No question. And the other thing, there's a case that's going before the Supreme Court that I keep highlighting for people. My friend Michael Dougherty wrote a book called The Devil Inside the Beltway about his battle with the FTC. But there's a case that SCOTUS just accepted with, I believe it's called Axon, AXON Corporation. And it essentially challenges the legitimacy of the FTC's kangaroo court. And that's administrative courts as a whole. So if SCOTUS decides that the FTC's court, which has not lost a case in 25 years, think about that, folks. Think about that. How does that even happen? How does one side win every case that it goes into for 25 years? I'll tell you how it happens. It happens because the playing field's not level. That's how it happens. And so that case has been accepted by the United States Supreme Court. And I believe that between the three new justices, Gorsuch, Kavanaugh, and Barrett, with Thomas and Alito, I think we've got the numbers that they're going to look at that and say, you know what? No, you can't have a court system that nullifies individuals or businesses are owned. Businesses have been defined as an entity. You can't have a courtroom that denies individuals their constitutional rights, period. Nope. Not going to let it pass. That's what I hope. Yep.
Yes.
That's what I hope.
Let me tell your listeners why it's important to get this book and how they can help. This is an incredibly positive book. There's really no book that's been written like this on American history, because historians typically, first of all, they tend to be secular progressive, and they write linearly. It's who, what, when, and where. And it tends to be boring and long. My book is purposely written succinctly for busy people who don't read books. It's a little over 200 pages long, 14 chapters, and it's all about the why. And it's about the why of how God worked throughout our history to shape us and raise up his standard and realize his vision. The Declaration of Independence, of course, with equality and the right to pursue, you know, liberty,
amen,
opportunity, wasn't fully realized, because, you know, we lived in a time the Constitution was formed with Southern states that had slavery.
Right.
That couldn't be solved at the Constitutional Convention. That then led to the Civil War, where the nation was divided. It started out with secession, but it ended up dealing with slavery. But Lincoln, bless his heart, was assassinated, so Reconstruction didn't go well.
We're going to run out of time. Real quick, folks, rediscoveringamerica.net is the website. Rediscovering America is the book. Get it today.
At the end of the day, when I stand before my God, I do not want him to ask me, what did you do with the world that I sent my son to die for and redeem? How did you fight the good fight to share the good news and keep evil in check? How did you shine your light and be a beacon of truth in the darkness? Did you shrink back in fear when they demanded you change my message? Did you call evil good and good evil? Did you forsake my love for that of another, lying with the adulterer and setting up a new idol in your life? Have you defiled yourself through compromise and tolerance of that which I call an abomination? Have you innocent blood on your hands for the children murdered on your watch and the young ones perverted in their way by evil men, seeking their own comfort and reviling me? No. At the end of the day, I want him to simply say the evidence is in. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. I love my God and I love his creation, and I will go to my grave telling the world that evil is evil and only God is good, and Jesus came to save the world. That no matter the evil in the world, I will never give up, and in spite of the hate, I will love in truth. God bless you all, and may love remove the veil, so you all might enter into his rest.
This is Adam Mundall with State Air, and we are sponsors of Chosen Generation and Pastor Greg. Sponsoring this program has been a real blessing to our business, and I want to encourage you to join me in sponsoring Chosen Generation and Pastor Greg. Call him today at 830-446-3624. Once again, that's 830-446-3624. I know your business will be blessed as ours is, and I challenge you to this blessing. Thank you.
Hi, this is Pastor Greg, host of the Chosen Generation Radio Show, reminding you that we have a two-hour program Monday through Friday with great interviews on topics that impact you. Our goal is to return our country to a biblically based constitutional republic as envisioned by our founding fathers and what made our nation the greatest in the world for over 150 years. You are a part of that vision, so please join us at ChosenGenerationRadio.com, ChosenGenerationRadio.com, and sign up for our emails today.